Good morning. My name's Mary Mullen, and I'm one of the co-lay ministers. And this is Frederica, and my last time to lead you in service on gay and lesbian issues. And today's title is "We Are a Gentle, Angry People, But Are We a Welcoming Congregation?" And those of us who are gay and lesbian and bisexual, I think, feel that we have been very welcoming as a congregation, and we really appreciate that. We'd like to welcome all of you who are here to Prayer Unitarian Universalist Society. And we're going to start with the song that I think everyone will recognize the tune of, even if they're from some other religious tradition than our own. And it's on page 3, and it's the song on the bottom of the left-hand column, starts there, "From All That Dwell, From All That Dwell, Let's Stand." Lucky to have our primo storyteller here to tell us stories to all of us, and especially the kids. Ann Pryor's got, I think, a couple of stories to tell us.
The stories I'm going to tell today come from the Bible. They come from two different books in the Bible. One is from the book of Ruth, and the other is from the books of Samuel. And these are from the Old Testament part of the Bible. And what they are, really good friends. And the first story is about Naomi and Ruth. And these were two women who were very good friends. And they really loved each other very, very much. Naomi was a woman who lived in Israel. And she was married to her husband, and they had two sons. But they had a problem in that there was a drought. And there was not enough rain falling down for the crops to grow. And they couldn't grow enough food to feed themselves. And so Naomi and his family decided to move to another land where there was enough rain and the crops would grow, so they could have enough food. And so they went there, and it was hard for them. They had to leave their family, and they had to leave their friends and leave their home behind. But they moved, and things went well at first. There was enough rain, and they could grow enough food, and the sons married women that they loved. But then Naomi's husband died. And then both her sons died, too. And Naomi felt that she was all alone in this strange land. And she stayed there for a little while, but then she decided, no, I'm going to go back to my home, to my original place where my home and my family and my people are. And that's where my God is worshipped, and that's where I want to go. And so she told her two daughters-in-law, these two women who had been living with her and helping her, she told them that she was going to leave their country and go back to her home. And they were very sad. They started crying and they said, no, let us go with you. We want to stay with you. We want to help you. And Naomi said, no, it's very hard to go to another country. You stay here with your mother and father, with your family and friends, and I will go back alone. And one of the daughters-in-law said, all right, I'm very sad, Naomi, but we'll say goodbye and I will go back. And she did go back. But the other daughter-in-law, the other woman, Ruth, she said, no, wherever you go, that is where I want to go. Wherever you live, that's where I want to live. And so Ruth stayed with Naomi because they were good friends and they really did love each other. And so Ruth went with Naomi to her country. And now Ruth was the stranger. And it was hard for Ruth because she was the stranger there. She didn't know anyone except Naomi, but she really helped Naomi. She worked with her and she got food for her. And she did whatever Naomi wanted her to do. And they just became closer and closer friends. And in fact, Ruth ended up being very well respected in that country because she helped Naomi so much and really, really was a good, faithful, strong friend and daughter to her. Now the other story is about two young men, David and Jonathan. And Jonathan had a father who was the first king of Israel, King Saul. And Saul was a soldier. He did lots of fighting. the people who lived around him, he considered his enemies, and he felt that he had to fight them. And so he did lots of fighting, and he needed men in his army who could be good soldiers also. And so David, at one time, came. He was just a young shepherd boy, but he came and he helped Saul and he helped his army. And David defeated one of the enemy soldiers that everybody else in Saul's army was really, really afraid of. But David helped out Saul and he defeated this enemy named Goliath. And Saul was very, very grateful to David. And he said, "David, you can come and live with me and stay with me. You're a good man and I like you." And that's when David met Jonathan, Saul's son, when David was staying with King Saul. And as soon as Jonathan and David met each other, they liked each other a lot. They became best of friends. They thought each other was just the greatest guy in the whole world. And they really wanted to stay with each other. And they promised each other, "We will be friends forever. Whenever you need help, I will help you. And I will love you forever." And that's what David and Jonathan promised each other. And it ended up that Jonathan really had to help David out a lot. King Saul got very, very, very jealous of David. He thought that God was helping David more than he was helping him. And so King Saul got so jealous of David that he tried to kill him. David would be in the room with King Saul and would be playing his harp and making beautiful music for King Saul. King Saul felt sad, he would make music to make him feel happier. Or if King Saul was very upset, then David would play his harp and make beautiful music to try to calm him down. Well, King Saul got so jealous of David that he threw his spear at him and tried to kill him with his spear. And David said, "Uh-oh, I need help." So he went right to Jonathan and said, "Jonathan, your father's trying to kill me." And Jonathan didn't understand that at all. And so Jonathan and David said, they made a plan. And so what David did, he went and hid in a secret hiding place that he and Jonathan had in a field. And David went and hid there. And Jonathan went to his father, the king, and he said, "Father, why are you trying to kill my friend? Your friend, too. David has been a wonderful help to you. Why are you trying to kill him?" And Jonathan talked so convincingly to his father that he changed his father's mind. And he made King Saul see that he really shouldn't hurt David, that David was a friend. And so Jonathan went to David at the secret hiding place and he told him the good news. And David was very happy and very grateful. And so he came back. And he was living with King Saul again, playing his harp, and then King Saul just lost it again. And he threw a spear at David again and tried to kill him again. And David said, "Uh-oh, I need help." So again, he went to his best friend, Jonathan. And he said, "Jonathan, your father's trying to kill me again." And Jonathan couldn't believe it. But he and David again made a plan. And David went and hid in a secret hiding place in the field. And Jonathan again went to his father to try to see what was the matter with his father trying to kill this great guy, David. Well, when he talked to King Saul about David, King Saul got so angry just hearing David's name that he threw a spear at his own son. He threw a spear at Jonathan and tried to kill Jonathan even. That's how angry he was about David. Well, when Jonathan found out that, he knew that David would not be safe anywhere and that David had to leave and really had to go far away to hide. And he was very sad because he knew he was not going to see his friend anymore. And so he went to the hiding place and he told David what had happened. And the both of them were just crying because they were so sad that they were going to have to say goodbye to each other. And that's what happened. They had to say goodbye. They promised to love each other forever, that they would stay best of friends and help each other whenever they could. But David had to go away or else he would be killed by King Saul. And so David did go away and he hid. And he for many years, King Saul tried to find him to kill him, but David managed to stay alive. And then one day there was another great battle, and King Saul was in this battle, and his son Jonathan and other of his sons were in the battle too, and they were all killed. And this had been many years later. And when David heard that his best friend Jonathan was killed, he was very sad. And when he heard that King Saul had been killed, he was also very sad. Even though Saul had been really, really terrible to him, David had forgiven him. And he loved Saul anyway, even though Saul had tried to kill him. And so what David did, again, he made a song up that sang, and he sang about Saul and Jonathan. And this is just part of the song. Saul and Jonathan, so wonderful and dear, together in life, together in death, swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. The brave soldiers have fallen. They were killed in battle. Jonathan lies in the hills. I grieve for you, my brother Jonathan. How dear you were to me. How wonderful was your love for me, better even than the love of women. The brave soldiers have fallen, their weapons abandoned and useless. So David, in sorrow, sang this song about King Saul and his good friend Jonathan. And David went on to become the next king of Israel. And if you ever hear it said, Jesus, son of David, that's the David that they're referring to by saying that. And so those are the stories of the two sets of friends.
Could you lead us in the song to
Children
down? Okay.
He tells you to sing the song as the children and teachers go downstairs for their morning session.
Go now in peace, go now in peace, may the Spirit of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go, everywhere, everywhere you may go.
Thank you very much, Anne,
for the stories.
Well, we're going to play a song for the adults now, and it's a song we promised you throughout our series of services to introduce you to some gay and lesbian culture, and that's what this song serves as in part. And it's a song called In the Very Front Row, and it's printed on the back of your program. And it has some special meaning to me because I happen to be a preacher's kid myself, and the singer of this song is a preacher's kid, and it's about her experience of growing up in a minister's family. And I think you'll be amused by some of the things that she did that she kind of got in trouble for. As you know, ministers' children and teachers' children and children that are in the public eye like that are always supposed to be the best examples, and they aren't always. And why should they be? But the story has a special twist at the end. It's about a kid who was not always so good in being an example, but in church especially, and who turns out to be a good girl. Well, we'll find out how that is. That's the line in the song. It also portrays a change in acceptance of women as clergy. It used to be you'd never hear of a woman clergyman, woman clergy. But this is a song also about that, and as you recall, way back in our first service, we talked about how even in Unitarian Universalism, there is some problem with accepting, well, especially gay and lesbian people as ministers. And I think this is an introduction to that topic, which we'll talk about a bit today. So,
not doing my part.
Before you turn it on, though, I wanted to say that as I was thinking about this song, I also thought about a book I'd read several years ago called Another Mother Tongue, written by Judy Gron. And in that book, she talks about how gay and lesbian people have often served as messengers or sort of as shamans do. We had talked last time, or our speaker talked last time, about how in Indian tribes, many times the person who we would call a homosexual male in particular became a shaman. And Judy Gron speaks in her book about how gays and lesbians may be especially good choice for shamans, for ministers, because they pass between two worlds in a way, between the world of heterosexuals and a world that most heterosexuals don't know, women pass in a way to the world of men when they become lesbians. Gay men cross into the world that is normally reserved just for women, and in crossing over, they gain some understandings or pass some understandings from one sex to another or from one world to another. And this song talks about a lesbian minister who may be a good choice for minister.
See everyone's face out there. Today I'd like to light the chalice to three Unitarian ministers. And the first is a woman named Reverend Kim Harvey. And she, at age 29, became a minister of the historic meeting house in Provincetown, Mass. She's a fourth generation Unitarian Universalist who, since the age of 13, knew she wanted to be a Unitarian minister. And at the age 17, her mother said to her, "I hope you are not gay, because you will have to choose between your dream of ministry and lifestyle." She then went on, as many children do, to prove her mother wrong. By the time she graduated from college, she not only knew that she was a lesbian, but knew that she could not be in the closet and that she would be committed to being open about her sexuality. She then became a minister, and when she was going through her ordination, she said to the evaluator that there were two things he would need to know about her. First, of the influence her grandparents had on her life, and secondly, that she was a lesbian. She truly believed that the Unitarian Universalist Association was not homophobic, and for her that has been the case. When she was given her church, there were 35 members, half of them dead. It sounds like Prairie, huh? We don't know how to get rid of our dead members. They had not had a full-time minister in 20 years. She then went on to preach every Sunday to 450 people. Not all homosexual, although Provincetown is a very large gay community, but she truly reached out to both the heterosexual and gay community alike. She has now moved on to Boston, so it'll be interesting to see if this congregation can keep up from 35 to 450. The second woman is named Reverend Rosemary Denman, who has not had such an easy time. She was ordained a Methodist minister, and she very much initially accepted the Methodist ban on homosexuality, as is often the case when you are not accepting your own homosexuality, you become a vehement spokesperson against it. And that was the case for her for many years. Then she learned to accept and love the fact that she was a lesbian. She then confided this in her to her bishop, and he said, uh-uh. She was then tried by the Methodist Church and found guilty of, quote, practices declared to be incompatible with Christian teaching. Now, the best part of the story for me is that she then went on to be a Unitarian minister. And the Unitarians accepted her totally without, they did not care what the Methodist Church was going to, how they were going to vote. They did not wait until that jury came in on whether she should be a Methodist minister. They welcomed her immediately with open arms. The reason she made the choice to go into the Unitarian Church was not just because, you know, we were easy to get into. She made the decision to join the Unitarian denomination because she had gone to a service, and she observed two women who had been in a 15-year relationship who were dedicating a child that one of them had conceived by artificial insemination. And she was so impressed at how the congregation accepted them as a couple and as a family. And she knew that that was where she belonged. And Andrea is going to tell us about the third minister.
Frederica asked me to say a few words about Tony Larson, because he happens to be a friend of mine. He's the UU minister in the church in Racine, where I grew up, and that's where I met him. I think, I guess like Rosemary, he decided on Unitarian Universalism after having attended a service there. He had started his religious career, if you will, in the Catholic seminary. And then, obviously, as we, most of us know how the Roman Catholics feel about gay and lesbian people, found that he couldn't stay with the Catholics because of the way they felt about gay men. But attended a Unitarian Universalist service and decided this is where I belong. And well, I'm not sure exactly how long, but it must be going nearly 20 years that he's been the minister at the church in Racine. So, and he's taught a lot of people, I think, about living and loving, whether they're gay or lesbian or not. So,
how many people in that church?
Boy, I'm not sure now, but probably at any given service there are 60 to 100 people.
I was going to say, they have 300 members.
Yeah, quite a number. Right, living. So for these three,
Thank you, Andrea. I'd like us all to stand now and read the bond of union on the inside front cover. We, the members of Prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. Together, we would expand our intellectual horizons, enrich our sensory experiences, and deepen our emotional sensitivities. We would sharpen our ethical awareness and broaden our sense of social responsibility. We would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life, yet not at others' expense. As the prairie stretches out until it becomes one with the sky, let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world and with one another. Okay. Today what we'll be doing is dividing into five groups. You can choose however you want to go in the groups. And we will be looking at this welcoming congregation definitions and the behavioral objectives. Each group will be given two definitions to discuss and the criteria that go with those definitions. The instructions that I give you now will also be written down so you don't have to remember it. First of all, we want you to brainstorm on how to implement the definition and the matching objective. Secondly, to discuss your feelings about whether it should be implemented or not. Then if you finish before the others do, you can go back and look at all of the definitions and see which one you feel is most troublesome and would be most difficult to implement and how you feel about that. One person will need to be the recorder. We'll come back together as a group and share this, the discussion that went on. This is not a time that we're voting on any of this. This is just a brainstorming idea session, and perhaps some of these ideas will then come to the annual meeting. Any questions? Okay. Before we break into the groups, one group will be on the stage, three down here, and one in the lobby. Before we break into the groups, I want to read some words which I hope will help guide us. And they are words that I read the first Sunday, but I feel that they are very important words to hear from Reverend Schultz, the president of the UUA. And I'll just read the last portion of it. The fear of same-sex love runs deep in Western culture. But I beg us to understand that if such fear is permitted to control us, we will be in violation of everything which Unitarian Universalist stands for in the world. It is not enough to say passively and self-contentedly, why, of course, gays and lesbians are welcome in our congregation if they choose to come. What is required is the recognition that gay and lesbian people are already members of every single congregation on this continent. The issue is whether they feel supported enough to make their presence known. What we require is the courage and wisdom to acknowledge our own fears, both gay and straight, and to take active steps to make the welcome known to the gay and lesbian community. So if there are no questions, we'll divide in, one can be up on the stage, group one. Oh gosh, how many people are here? 60 probably. Probably 10, at least 10 in each group. So one on the stage, two by the plant windows, three up here by the podium, four by the pews, and five in the lobby.
Does it mean we won't cover all of these then?
Each group covers only two, and I'm going to give you paper and pencil and the directions for which two you will do. So when we come back, we will, as a whole, we will have talked about all of them.
How much time will we have?
About 15 minutes. As I went around listening to the groups, I think in every group, maybe not, I heard a very big concern, which I want to address just now as a whole group, so each group does not have to bring it up because it's already been taken care of. What I heard was the concern is, why should we just be outreaching to lesbian and gay people? What about other minorities? And the welcoming congregation curriculum that is coming out in March will, in fact, be a welcoming congregation to all minorities, not just the lesbian and gay community. This was a very big issue, however, and caused great friction and divisiveness. But the welcoming congregation curriculum will be more inclusive than just lesbian and gay. However, what we are talking about here today is lesbian and gay issues.
The fact that other minorities were not included was the source of divisiveness?
Yes, this whole welcoming congregation came about as a result of lesbian and gay work. Okay, so that was the initial focus. That's what the questionnaire to the 2,500 people was about. The welcoming congregation and common visions, and what are the two, Office of Gay and Lesbian Concerns, all developed out of gay and lesbian issues, okay? And as it became developed and it was the welcoming congregation was only dealing with lesbian and gay issues, then the broader congregation said it needs to be more inclusive. And there was some friction about that.
Okay, one gets to do the honors here. Let's have very brief reports on some of the highlights of each group. The group that talked about inclusive language bylaws and directory entries, I believe it was the group on the stage.
We didn't get to the feelings part, they rushed us along. But, in terms of language, we felt it was important in talking about families, that we refer not just to husband and wife, don't assume that all couples are heterosexual, and broaden the definition of couple. That it might be good for the program committee to have a gay lesbian liaison to help be more sensitive to language, and that when things are sent to, or when there are the guidelines that are given to lay ministers, could include something very easily there. That it might be good to watch for what the UUA puts out in guidelines if they get something before we do. But we sort of thought that we're usually ahead of them. smug there. In terms of RE training, that it would be important to make sure we address alternate families. Include books on alternate families, and we're looking at elements in the curriculum that talk about families or that talk about the worth and dignity of individuals, that we make sure and be inclusive there. In the bylaws, we looked it up, and we do not have any kind of a statement in our bylaws on any kind of non-discrimination. And so we were wondering if it would be important to include that at this point and have something that would be general so it could be all inclusive, and we thought it might be good for Jack to check to some other UUA groups and see what's around. In the brochure for new members, we didn't know if we really had a brochure to give out, but that we do have a program guide that's often given to people, and we look. We should probably review that and see how inclusive that is. And we felt that it's probably it doesn't state things specifically. And the question would be whether to be more specific about things, but it certainly, the intent is that it be inclusive. And I had another word down on that.
Thanks, Eileen. Group two was about workshops that are recommended to encourage understanding between straight people and lesbians, gays, and bisexuals. Which group was that?
that sign, they don't know which group.
No, well, we had definition number one. It doesn't actually say.
Well, is it, there's a little group number on line two of your paper.
Group two, workshops.
Okay.
That's it. Well, we didn't notice that line out there. So ours was number one, which is just about being a welcoming conversation in general, and we were trying to identify some problems that Prairie had so that we could brainstorm some solutions of how to implement this definition, which is what it said in the bottom line. And we were having difficulty finding problems that Prairie had. We kind of looked at the language and the fact that we try to be inclusive with the language, and we talked a little bit about whether or not at circle dinners, if the conversation is inclusive and that kind of programming outside of Sunday mornings, and the consensus seemed to think that people seemed to think that gay and lesbian people were fitting in okay in circle dinners, and that was okay. And as far as the workshops go, we were thinking that this ministry itself, this lay ministry, was kind of a training session for all of us on how to be more welcoming thing. But if there is something no one in our group knew, if there's something that, say, the Central Midwest District offers on this topic, if there's some kind of training, then we should probably send somebody there. It said in the thing, of course, send your minister, which we don't have. But so we were thinking that would be a good thing to do. Also, as far as a congregation-wide homophobia workshop, we thought that this kind of ministry we had really wasn't that, and that that would be something additional where maybe we could get together with First Society and do kind of the evening series, because this was not an opportunity to deal with any kind of baggage we had, you know, personally, to, you know, determine exactly where we were in our thinking, and that that might be a real good thing to do, and maybe we could get together with First Society and do it. When Eileen was just talking, it just occurred to me, you know, we were trying to figure out, trying to come up with examples of where we were going wrong, you know, what kind of wording was bad and that kind of thing. And she brought up several, but then I was wondering if, you know, I don't know, if an outreach program said, tell your parents, is that okay? Are parents okay if the parents happen to be of the same sex? Are they still, is parents still okay? Some of this wording, we don't even know if it's offensive or not.
Or inclusive.
Right.
Thank you. Group three was a group that was to talk about outreach to the lesbian, gay, and bisexual community. I think it was a group that was right up here.
The first one had to do with legislative efforts. And we got hung up on this broader context non-discrimination thing because we do that to a certain extent already. Then we got to talking about the fact that if we want Prairie as an organization to do this, it's a very time-consuming thing to get jump through the proper hurdles to get the okay to use Prairie's name, which is why we have the Social Action Committee.
Which Judy is the chairperson of.
Things like using our name as a sponsor for things, or specifically lobbying for Prairie for legislation. We need a stronger Social Action Committee. And then we also talked about advertising, and I think the main hang up there is money, more than anything that has to do with homosexuality. Although we thought maybe there's some kind of universal symbol that we could say use in our ad, like we use the handicap accessible symbol. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, thanks, Judy. Group four was to talk about space and program support for lesbian, gay, and bisexual events. Who had that? Okay.
We talked about the issue of excluding
exclusivity.
Exclusivity.
Could you maybe turn around since you're in the front?
So we decided that in order to not exclude other people who are not gay and lesbian, to have different levels of groups. We could have an initial support group for gays and lesbians to deal with their issues. We could have a group that talked about relationships with gays and lesbians to the broader church that would include other non-gays and lesbians. Each group could have different focuses and try to include everybody. we could have different topics. One person suggested that we extend like the women's theology group to include questions about gays and lesbians. We suggested that we have services throughout the year on topics of gays and lesbians. It was also an important point brought up was that usually the people that need the support, like gays and lesbians or other minorities, end up doing most of the work for themselves. And so it's very important that we have outside supporters who are giving to us. I think that's not it.
Okay. And finally, the group that was talking about programming related to homosexuality and bisexuality. Was that the group in the hall?
Yeah.
Who's the reporter?
Rick, right?
No.
Or, okay.
I guess I will. Well, we discussed about the religious education vocabulary. For example, using the word partner more often instead of husband or wife or spouse. And we also discussed the idea, are we really welcoming? And the letter from Roy Shankless mentioned that if someone here wrote a letter like that, are we really open to everyone? Also, we brought up about the minorities, the other minorities. And as far as the about your sexuality classes, it was suggested that that be offered for adults as a lay ministry, perhaps, and also as a class. Another suggestion was as a class more often, since the last one we could recall was perhaps 3 or 4 years ago.
The last adult one?
The kids had the program last year.
For the adults, they thought it should be offered more often, like say annually. And then, so that newer people could take advantage of it. And we also discussed one's sexuality being more than just their behavior in bed. It's more their whole value system and how they think, and the idea of how people may open their heart to both sexes, but the erotic part of them was reserved for one sex or the other. And then it was also suggested as far as number 6 objective for the celebration, that maybe we have like a banner to celebrate Gay Pride Week, a banner at Prairie here, and have more education regarding gay, lesbian, and bisexual issues.
Okay, thanks a lot. My impression of the discussions is, like Eileen said, mostly people talked about ways to implement and never really got much of a chance to discuss their feelings on different ways of implementing, though perhaps some of those feelings were expressed just in talking about the implementation. And it seems to me that these topics do bear further discussion than they've had just this morning. So I hope that you do take home the welcoming congregation flyer that's around here, and I think they're probably enough for everyone to have one, and if there aren't, we can be sure that you get one. I'm sure there will be at least an item or two coming before the meeting in the spring on at least some of these objectives, if not the whole thing about the welcoming congregation. So anyone that's interested in partaking in that, I think should probably, there'll be announcements in the newsletter if we want to do that. Okay? Let's take a break. Oh, a question.
It seems to me that in one comment about the board session on gay and lesbian issues, and that is that most of it simply has and have had and has accepted. But it's a change from visioning from a passive acceptance to some form of active acceptance. I think that one of the greatest value of these four professions to this congregation.
Thank you, Jack. And as we said from the very beginning, we felt that people have been friendly, but to be welcoming, as Jack says, it takes more than just being friendly.
Well, thanks to the two of you for doing this series.
Oh, thank you. We have enjoyed the opportunity. Well, we have a song of celebration to sing now called What Wondrous Love Is This? It's
number
on page 8.
Eileen thinks we can't sing this song. So let's prove her wrong.
Let's stand.
Here we go. What page?
Page 8. If they would like to introduce themselves, are there any people here who would like to introduce themselves or whoever, a friend who would introduce them? Yes, Annis.
My next door neighbor, Cindy
Truebell. Welcome, Cindy. Anyone else? Yes. Welcome, Linda. Any other visitors who wish to introduce themselves?
We have a new baby.
Oh, a new baby. Let's have that baby introduced.
He's right here having breakfast.
You want to tell us your baby's name?
Isaac.
A nice biblical name.
When was he born? December 23rd.
Oh.
Seems a little early.
Oh. Thanks for coming. Anyone else? Okay, the next thing we normally do is we share any joys or sorrows with the congregation. Do any of you have joys or sorrows you would wish to share?
My daughter Casey, some of you know, finally got her first real permanent job as a law clerk.
Oh! All right.
Many of you were here last
months when Jeff announced that he had quit his job, he now has two jobs. one of which is a weekend job, so he can't be with us. Oh. But he's pleased.
Other joys or sorrows? Yes.
I have a sorrow that couldn't have heard a service about gays and lesbians when I was growing up.
Okay, I think it's of any others? Did I see a move back there? Yes.
I tried yesterday to call my county board representative to express my opinion of disgust at the actions of the Wisconsin Counties Association. And that's my sorrow that I couldn't get a hold of her. I will try again, and my joy is that I think this is a group where I can ask you to consider doing similar things.
On that note, there was an article in Thursday's paper about a school board member, Kylie, who is very much opposed to the ninth grade curriculum that is asking students to be accepting of all students, including ones that have do not share your sexual orientation. So Mary has written a letter to the school board, and we will be passing it around. Please sign it if you feel that you can. We will send it to both papers and the school board.
Kind of the opposite of that, a slight joy is I'm reading my daughter's 17 magazine I think it was 2 months ago, it was an old one, and there was a column called Sex in Your Body, and it was about homosexuality, and it was quite sensitive and very, sort of the gist of it was, if you don't worry if you think you are, because some of this is developmental, but if you really think you really are, then that's okay too. And it was really quite well done.
Oh, I have a sorrow. Lost a friend this week to cancer, Betty Salmon, who's a county board member of many years. I had known her for about 20 years, helped in her early campaign. So, real blow.
I think a lot of us knew her and loved her as a politician and as a person. Other joys or sorrows? Time for announcements. Who's got one? Yes.
I don't know if you can see this picture. This is an anti-BGH rally. Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday noon at the Capitol. I'll leave this out so you can see it. Tomorrow night, tomorrow at noon, Defend Abortion Rights Emergency DARE is holding a rally at the state capitol on behalf of women who have died from illegal abortions. Make a phone call, and I have the phone number here. It's to call the White House about abortion rights, specifically tomorrow because it's the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision on abortion. And then Wednesday night, Planned Parenthood is having a volunteer night from 4:30 to 8:30. They're going to do mailings and phoning and stuff. And on the 31st, if those of you, if you haven't received this, they're having a lobbying day. Planned Parenthood and some other groups are sponsoring a lobbying day on the 31st on the Planning Commission.
Okay, let me call for any announcements particularly related to prairie or prairie events. Are there some? Yes.
Yeah, I want to announce that the service next week will be Sam Day, who was recently released from prison after serving 6 months for attacking a missile silo. And the title of the service is World Peace Begins at Prairie U.
We tape all of our services, and any of you who want to borrow the tapes, you're welcome to contact a prairie person. The December 21st tape has never been found, so please keep looking. And at the Christmas service, I brought a glass star candle holder, and it didn't get home with me. So if any of you picked it up by mistake, I'd appreciate it.
I know what happened to that, and it never will get home.
Okay.
Okay, kids are coming up, so we need to be quick.
Yeah, I'm passing around the sign-up sheet for people to sign up for cleaning up after coffee on Sundays. We have no one signed up for any week after today, and we really need people to sign up. We need at least 2 bodies every week. And this week, Mike and Linda Sheeny were signed up, but I think they didn't know when they signed up that there was going to be a potluck. So
we know that because every time we sign up, there turns out to be a potluck.
By the way, there is a potluck. You're all invited, whether you brought food or not. It takes a few minutes to set up. There's coffee to be had meanwhile.
Or you can write letters if you'd like.
Yes. And also the Prairie Band is practicing. I think we'll go downstairs so that we don't have to compete with all the talking. Yes.
Okay. If you haven't finished paying your 89 pledge, I won't close the books on that until the end of January. But at this time of year, it's real helpful if when you send me money, you mark on your check whether it's for 89 or 90. So I don't have any trouble mixing them up too much.
Jack?
Next Sunday, for those who wish to present any general resolution for consideration to UUA, we will discuss those after the service.
Next Sunday?
And just reminding you also, for those who are concerned with the board meeting tomorrow night.
Regular session of RE started this morning. And I want to thank again all the people who helped make the intern sessions so much fun for the children who participated. They found them for screening in South Park with a paper airplane making and the analysis with printing. And so did paper making and the kids printed on the paper that they made. Maria Hansa did cooking activities, you know, Camera Lee did salt dough.
There's
one other person.
Did
you clarify? Thank you all very much.
Linda and I would like to start a French speakers potluck, picking up on a successful Spanish speakers potluck. So please let us know if you're interested in that. We'll also have another message if there's notice of the jury fire about that.
Okay, is there any other pressing announcement that needs to be made? Okay, let's all stand and sing the song with the tape.
And have the kids join you, too. And Robin is selling cookies.
The song's printed on your brochure, but you really don't need it to sing along. Never Turning Back. We sang it last Sunday. A little amen there.
We're going to keep on walking forward. Keep on walking forward. Keep on walking forward. Never turning back. Never turning back. We're gonna keep on walking proudly. Keep on walking proudly.
Potluck.